cricket, lovely cricket. Cricket lick the ball. Welcome along to 98 Not Out. The weekly cricket show here on Phoenix FM with myself, Darren Mutu, and joining me just in a couple of seconds is the grumbler, Mr. Richard Clark. Now, of course, this is a very worrying day with the news of the Queen being kept under medical supervision. There's no update from Buckingham Palace as yet. She remains comfortable and surrounded by her family. If there are any updates that come through while we are on air, we will bring them straight to you. But in the meantime, we will continue with our usual fare of cricket news, chat, interviews, and a bit of music as well. And actually, I'm going to start with a bit of music tonight, just do it a little bit different, but just in view of what has happened or not happened at the Oval today, I think we'll start with a bit of UB40. I think it's going to rain today.
Not Out, sponsored by Shepherd Neame, proud supporters of cricket in Essex.
Starting off this week's show a little bit different, we're starting going straight into the music. That was UB40, and I think it's going to rain today. Richard Clark is with me in the studio. Richard, welcome.
Hi Darren, how are you?
Oh, you're not turned up, are you? Or what? Or you want that one?
I'm on that one.
That's it. That's it.
Found me eventually.
Well, I'm so used to Webby being sat over there and he's on anyway.
Yeah, it's come to something where I'm Webby's substitute. I mean, I've got a big number 12 on my back, haven't I, basically? Because, yeah.
David Fairclough?
David Fairclough, super sub. Yeah, my hair's not there as much as his for a start, and certainly not ginger.
There we go. So we haven't seen you in the studio for a few weeks. You've been keeping all right?
Yeah, I went to New York a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, about 10 days ago. Spent some time there. Saw a New York Red Bulls game. Saw the Giants versus the Jets in a preseason friendly, which was very interesting. But I love America. I love Americana. I love American sport. I was trying to get to the US Open as well because the qualifiers are free. And they made a big thing of that. So we saw the Yankee Stadium as well, so we had a good look around. That was great.
That's not... And so I went to watch the Yankees in their old stadium at the Bronx. That's quite a long time ago now. I'm trying to think when that was. It was in the 80s. They're not there anymore.
No, they're not there. They moved. When I worked in Major League Soccer, I saw a soccer game. I actually walked all over the pitch, actually. I saw a soccer game at... Yankee Stadium, so I've been there before for that, but we could only walk around. It was actually not a particularly good experience, I should say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in terms of, given that Yankee Stadium is like quite iconic, isn't it? And I was just looking tonight about at a list of the most expensive franchises in world sport, and they're all NFL teams, basically with the exception of the Yankees, I think, who are coming at number four, and they're all like $6 billion, something like that. But US sport tends to be, in my opinion, overvalued for all sorts of reasons. But the Yankees are such an iconic brand, franchise, shall we say?
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in America for a bit and I wore a Yankees hat. Now, I didn't kind of get it in my head, but I thought the NY that are intertwined, I just thought that was New York. Right, but of course it's not. It's New York Yankees. So it's me walking around Denver with a Yankees hat on was like me walking around London as a tourist with a Man United hat on. And I got a few comments for that because it's Broncos country and it's Rockies country.
Yeah, well, Ian Cash walks around these studios in a Man United. He quite often turns up in Man United kit.
Yeah, I'm surprised you turned up naked, actually. Well, that was a bit, you know.
Webby's not here, so I can get away with it.
Oh, right, okay.
Now, interesting that you mentioned Ian Cash, by the way, is on tonight between 8 and 10 through the decades. Make sure you stick around for that. But it's interesting you talk about new American sport because it leads me into our first cricketing topic of the evening. I read today Liam Plunkett, who has crossed the Atlantic. He's got an American wife. And has got involved with the latest in a ever expanding group of new franchise cricket tournaments, and it's going to be like the US T20 or something. And he seemed to think that this will be a no brainer for anyone that's interested in playing franchise cricket. The danger, from what I read or took away from the article, is that this is another one that is going to disrupt the already very crowded calendar, particularly with the traditional English season.
Yeah, I mean, on my podcast, I do a podcast called Sports Content Strategy, and about a year ago, I interviewed the VP of Marketing for US Cricket, or USA Cricket, which is also running major and minor league cricket, and they'd done minor league, and the major league is just about to start. Now, it's very interesting because obviously it's there are franchises in a number of cities, and a lot of the investment is from the Indian subcontinent, some IPL teams involved there. The interesting part was, now is it the T20 World Cup in 2028 that is co-hosted by the USA and the West Indies? And I think I'm right, I'm not 100% sure.
Rings a bell.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Right, because obviously it's a short hop, and you're getting short hop across from the West Indies to the Miamis of this world. There's been tournaments in the past, or the odd game there, but when I was speaking to Tom, who's the VP of marketing, obviously he's going to sell it, but he was saying, well, it's very interesting the way they're trying to spread the game amongst colleges. It's an interesting sport in that sense. It's all T20, of course. It's not going to be Red Bull.
Yeah, of course.
But there is a big immigrant population.
Yep.
And the Silicon Valley recreational cricket leagues have always been big. When I lived in Denver, there were a couple of teams there. Had I stayed a bit longer, I'd have been interested in perhaps playing for them. I actually met a Middlesex Twos guy who was ex-Middlesex Twos, Australian guy, who was trying to set up a rugby team there. And Major League Rugby has just started as well. So they're looking at a number of sports, but you know, if you look at Willow TV, their footprint is big in the US.
Yeah.
If you look at the LA Games, they're trying very hard to get cricket in the LA Games for 2028, and that's kind of linked with the US cricket story there. So there's a few things going on, and of course the Canadian League has existed for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, now it's. There's a few stories around the Canadian League about why it actually exists and its purpose, which I probably can't go into here. But North America does sport exceptionally well. The issue is whether they're going to get support from the TV markets and whether they're going to get support from the crowds within the stadium, because they have to build a product that's viable. But With that Indian subcontinent money, you would think they've got a chance.
Well, yeah. I mean, even this humble show, through the wonders of the internet and the famous Phoenix 98 FM app, we have listeners across in North America. And we have one regular chap who interacts with us, Lionel, good evening if you are listening, who's in Florida, who's actually American. He's not an expat or anything like that, but has developed a love and an insatiable appetite for all things cricket, and tunes into this show. So,
well, what's interesting about US sport is it tends to be built around plays.
Yeah.
So you have plays within American football, you have plays within baseball. You have in particular. Hockey's a bit more fluid. Basketball's a bit more fluid, but you tend to have plays, right? And one of the problems with football from a TV product in the US is 45 minutes without a break.
Yeah.
So you have more opportunities. The cadence of cricket, if it's done the right way around 2020, you think, well, that might have a chance because it might fit, because it's done within plays.
Yeah. Interesting, very interesting. Well, we shall see what happens, but I'm just very concerned with these new leagues. These new things that are forming up, the real ominous march of these IPL franchises that seem to be kind of taking over players' lives and dictating where and when they play.
But isn't the problem the fact that no one's controlling the calendar?
Well, yeah.
There is no control of the calendar at all.
That's it.
And so you start up a league, it begins, and that's it. I mean, you've got the league starting up in the UAE, which I think is, from an English perspective, is relatively okay. I think it's sort of January, February time, so I don't think there's a big issue there. But for the last 10 years, we've had players missing the start of the season because of the IPL.
Yeah.
And no one's going to argue with that, because it's life-changing money, isn't it, for a cricketer? But when you're adding in, and you've got the UAE league starting the same time as the South African League,
yeah,
I believe.
We've already seen the damage that's caused with the South Africa-Australia ODI series being kicked to the curb.
But with that demand, you've got the players and agents, there's a bit of a bidding war going on, because they're both in their first year. So you've got a bidding war going on. And then, of course, not to rip off that band-aid, but you've got the tournament that shall not be named. And now, which player was it that got to the final and said, oh yeah, by the way, I'm off, I'm
one of the Trent Rockets,
he wanted to play in the first game of the Caribbean Premier League, which is, that's nuts all round, isn't it?
Phoenix FM.
Oh, more on this later on. You are listening to Phoenix 98 FM, 98 on the FM dial in the central Essex area. You can listen via the internet, phoenixfm.com. Shout at your smart speaker, play Phoenix FM, and it will work. Trust me, it works. And if you want to be brave, try and hunt down the Scarlet Pimpernel of apps, the Phoenix 98 FM app, which some people can find and some people can't. But if you can, you're in luck. You can listen to us on that. And failing all of those, there's mixcloud.com/live/Phoenix FM.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
98 FM. Now, if you are on social media, particularly Facebook, from my observations these last couple of days, it's almost the law to post pictures of your offspring in their brand new uniform off to big school or secondary. Actually, no, they call it off to high school. The Americanism of our education is concerning me. When I was a lad, we never had proms. It was called secondary school. It wasn't called high school. And, you know, all of this, you know, this whole thing, you know, and we had first year seniors or first year juniors, top infants. Not this year one to whatever. I get lost with all of this. But I did notice that there was a particular, and there were even people apologising, saying, oh, sorry, I forgot to put a picture of little Johnny in his new school, but he had a great day and he looked fantastic. And just getting very, very sort of annoying that everything that was popping up on my Facebook wall was someone showing off their kids with their new haircuts and shiny shoes.
So is your point that you're getting annoyed that people are posting things that promote themselves and boost their ego on social media?
Well, that's what social media is about.
Kind of why it exists, mate. Let's be honest. I mean, all I would say, the only that's what Facebook is for, in a sense. You could argue that Facebook is one that fits with it a little bit more because it's family focused. It's always been about connecting people. And you will have your auntie and your uncle and potentially grandpa and grandma on that. That's absolutely fair enough. When they post it on LinkedIn, now, I haven't seen too many on LinkedIn, but there's all sorts of social stuff on LinkedIn. And sorry, that's for business.
I've only just gone on LinkedIn. I'm very, very new to LinkedIn. Yeah, about a month ago, just after someone haranguing me, and I could never ever see the point. I'm on it now, so
it is useful. I mean, look, I'm a consultant, so you know I'm there touting my wares, and I'm promoting myself as a content creator. I've got podcasts and blogs and all sorts of things, and that's one of the ways I promote them on LinkedIn. And it is very much a business Facebook kind of platform. However, personal stuff shouldn't be there on LinkedIn in particular, in my opinion. But yes, you know, I've done it in the past.
People just,
my kids on, but
they just put the same thing across every single social outlet, don't they?
Which is not what you're supposed to do from a content perspective. You're supposed to post within the voice of the platform, the audience of the platform, and natively within the platform. So it reaches, but hey, most people just want to slap stuff on.
Yeah, it just
look at me, look at me.
Instagram is the best one, in my opinion, because Instagram is just putting photos up, whatever. And there's someone I know that makes it all about themselves. It's all about me. So they put stuff up there, which is basically a selfie of whatever occasion. So whether it's little Johnny's first day at school, I'm in the photo next to little Johnny.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that tends to happen a lot, yeah. But I worry about people's Instagram when it is, and you look at the gallery view of it, and it's lots of pictures of their face or lots of pictures of them. I worry about that, and I think that's part of the downside of social media, that it's creating narcissists amongst us. And also, if you're an influencer, which is what a lot of young people aspire to be, then you don't realise that they've taken, you know, 200 pictures to get that one that they want, because that's kind of their job.
Yeah. Well, anyway, to celebrate back to school, I've dug out a Ramones track.
You know I like the Ramones.
I know. I knew you were coming.
Rock and roll high school.
Yeah.
98 Not Out, sponsored by Shepherd Neame, proud supporters of cricket in Essex.
The Ramones Rock and Roll High School, especially for you, Richard. I knew you were coming in, and I know the era of music you love and the style of music you love.
So. Well, isn't everyone's music stuck in that period when they were like 16 to 20?
Oh,
that's it. It's all you like. I mean, yeah. I'm Stone Roses and that kind of era. That was what was popular at that period of time.
Talking of Facebook, like we were, there is method to the madness on this show. Now, you said about the Stone Roses. Something popped up on my Facebook or whatever wall yesterday, and it was some old kids show the likes they don't have anymore. They don't have any of these youth programs like we used to have, you know, with bands and whatever else, and, you know...
It wasn't Cheggers Plays Pop or something like
that. No, but, you know, there used to be a lot of those things where, you know, teen stuff and there'd be bands on the music, whatever. And Tony Wilson, the famous Tony Wilson of... Manchester musical and club royalty, and he had a show, and he was introducing a new band called the Stone Roses, and very, very good, very interesting haircuts, and
Well, he was a guy. Obviously, I think he was it called something else? His show?
Yeah, that's it. I think
he was a very how should we say, middle of the road Alan Partridge type figure, yeah. I suppose you could say, with the show that he was presenting on up in the Manchester area. But he also had this sort of rock and roll side to him, and Factory Records and No Contracts and all that.
But
sort
he had
of
a film made about him, didn't he? Played
24
by
hour people,
Steve Coogan.
24 Hour Party People. But he was a maverick. He was an absolute maverick and did things his own way. And I got a lot of respect for him because he was treating the artist as though they were artists and treating them differently from other people and trying to find things and having unsigned bands on. You never do that these days.
Some things never change. It's cricket birthdays of the week. So Webby's not here, so I'm going to do it. The birthday list this week reads thus. Lance Klusner, 51. Garth LaRue, an astonishing 67, unbelievable. Tom Moores of Trent Rockets fame and Nottinghamshire, of course, son of Peter, is 26. Mark Rampakash of Surrey or Middlesex, depending on who you favour, he's 53. Dwayne Olivier, 30. Adam Holyoake, 51. Joe Burns, 33. Roger Knight, Surrey legend, 76. Another Aussie here, George Bailey, 40. Wavell Hines, that great West Indies player, 46. And today, Shubman Gill, the India name tipped for the future on this show, turns 23. England's very own Joss Butler, 32. Jeff Miller, very amusing after-dinner speaker, is 70. And then tomorrow, Graham Onions, 40. Neil Fairbrother, 59. James Hildreth, 38. And last but not least, Owen Morgan is 36. Timed that perfectly with the jingle. You impressed?
Very.
So, as always, on that birthday list, there's some names there that... the age is sometimes kind of... raise eyebrows. I'd have never thought Garth LaRue was 67, but then I suppose when you think of when he was playing, it probably does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Sussex, wasn't he? A big shock of blonde hair, very barrel-chested kind of bowler. And it was an all-rounder, wasn't he, or a bowling all-rounder?
Bowling all-rounder, I think, is probably the right way.
Yeah, but he is very much a John Player League kind of player, isn't he, era? So, I suppose that's right, yeah. I suppose he will be. I didn't realise Shubman Gill was... that young. I mean, he's just turned up at Glamorgan, isn't he? He's just playing the last little bit at Glamorgan.
That's right. Yeah, so when we had Nick Knight on, when was it? About a year ago, when he was covering the Australia versus India series for Sony Sports. And he told us that back then, he said, this is a name, remember the name, you know, to quote Ian Bishop, Shubman Gill. And he was sort of starring in that series. And if you remember, it was very much an Indian sort of second string team that was playing Australia and went on to pull off a marvellous, memorable win. Shubman Gill was part of that, and only 23, so yeah, a big name to watch. And as you say, he's on these shores at the moment. So if you are in the West Country, I suggest you get down there and see these guys up close. And a couple of England big names there, Joss Butler and Owen Morgan. Owen Morgan, 36, seems like he's been around forever, doesn't it?
He's retired, isn't he? I mean, that's a little young, you would think. I mean, he's retired at 35. He retired, a couple of months ago or something like that. Decent bat. A little bit too corporate, in my opinion, in his approach to the
you
game.
You love a bit of corporate, didn't you?
I love a bit of corporate. And there are corporate captains, and he is one of them. Ben Stokes, not a corporate captain.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, last week, leading on nicely, we reviewed the Ben Stokes documentary, Phoenix to the Ashes, which is on Amazon Prime Video. Have you seen it yet?
I've not seen it, no.
Interesting. Interesting. It's filmed over a period which kind of marks the highs and lows that he was going through, and the mental stresses that were partly self-inflicted, but partly put upon him just in his drive, motivation, and, you know, aspiring to be the best he could be.
Does it show any warmth? Because I'm interested with Ben Stokes that obviously he's a tremendous talent, and I think he's done a lot of things that I think show a tremendous amount of character. Even certain things around that court case, the way he acted that night was in defence of certain people, and there's, yeah, it's not a good thing, I'm not saying the way it turned out, but there were some merits in the way that he acted, albeit it was an overall bad thing. And obviously he's been prepared to stand up to the ECB and the absurd bloody lootly quote. Isn't going to do him any personal good, should we say, but he did it anyway. That shows character. However, he doesn't exude warmth.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Does that come through in the documentary?
Yeah, yeah. My personal take is, so he's born in New Zealand, he comes over when he's 11, and, you know, they settle in Cockermouth in the northeast. He strikes me, and, you know, he's walking around Cockermouth and he's talking about all the scrapes, quite proudly talking about the scrapes and fights he used to get into, and there's some guy walks past and acknowledges him, and he goes, oh, that's so-and-so, yeah, had a proper fight with him back in the day. And he struck me as being quite a tortured soul, that he, in all the pictures of him, particularly when he was young, he looks quite grumpy and a bit fed up and whatever else. You know, he didn't want to come over to England from New Zealand. He gives off this persona of being this tough northern lad. And, you know, there's a famous song, is there, I'm a northern, of drinking and brawling and whatever else, and no one messes with me. And that's kind of the image that I got for it early doors. And it kind of peaks with what happened in Bristol. And then there's a kind of a road to Damascus moment where either he or someone says to him, you can't be doing this. And I think Stuart Broad says something about him after that being a changed person. You know, all of that is then focused into cricket, and, you know, the all of the famous occasions, you know, Headingley, that catch at the Oval, all the rest of it, to me just seems to be him seeing how far he can push himself personally, how good can he be, and he's pushing himself. Does he come over as a warm person? No. But I'd go a bit further, actually, and say, on that, in the current England team, who would you say, and I'm not saying there aren't any, but who comes across as warm in the England test
Roots.
Setup?
Roots. I've always liked Root. I think I was very impressed when he was seen on camera and on the stump mic.
We have got to stop. It has just been confirmed, the very sad news coming from Buckingham Palace, that Her Majesty the Queen has passed away at the age of 96. So, unfortunately, we have got to stop 98 Not Out right here. More news will be given on this station as you get it. But for now, from Richard and myself, it's good night.